Today I'm going to be talking about a New Year's resolution, but I'm not really going to even call it a resolution. You know, there's something that's exciting and exhilarating about a new year. I know we all look forward to it. Sometimes it's because we think the previous year was so bad that we just can't wait to reboot, to start again, to start a new year. But still, there's some excitement and there's some exhilaration there. And in viewing the coming year, this year, in light of all the great things that God is going to do, should bring about a sense of anticipation and hope in our lives. I'm expecting God to do some amazing things this year. And it's got to start with me first before it can spread out and take hold. And there's just something about that start of the new year that gives us a feeling that we have a fresh start, that we have a fresh beginning. But you know, in reality, there's really nothing different between December 31st and January 1st. There's nothing magical. There's nothing mystical that takes place like when, I think it was Cinderella, when the clock struck midnight and she turned back the way she was and the horses and turned into pumpkins and all that stuff. Nothing mystical, magical happens at midnight on the 31st. In fact, the practice of making a New Year's resolution actually goes back 3,000 years ago to the ancient Babylonians. And the Bible, the scriptures, does not really say anything for or against the concept of New Year's resolution. You know, the Jewish people, they follow the practice of making resolutions every year during the feasts of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They're praying, God, help me to be better this year. Help me to serve you greater. You know, forgive me, Lord. On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they come before the Lord in tears and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins of the past. Help me, Lord, in the coming year to be changed and renewed and be different, and hoping and praying that their names would be written in the book of life, as we pray that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. However, all things that are done in the flesh are bound to fail. Let me tell you, I know that from firsthand experience. Not once, not twice, probably 100 times. 100 times that things done in the flesh are bound to fail and leave us with a feeling of emptiness and a lack of fulfillment. And again, I don't normally, or I don't recommend people doing New Year's resolutions, because we fail. You know, people resolve, boy, in this year, I resolve I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm going to stop watching TV 12 hours a day, or I'm going to, you know, start exercising. And we start doing that in a couple days. Maybe we do it a week later, 2 weeks later, it's over. It was a waste. Everything fell apart. So I don't usually recommend doing this, but this year I want to do something different. I don't want to call them resolutions, but priorities. We need to have priorities for 2017. Us individually and as a congregation, we need to have priorities. And our priorities for 2017 should involve spiritual commitments and goals. Spiritual commitments and goals. And let me suggest that our priorities for 2017 should be, number one, to honor God above all other people and above all things, that we are to honor God. Secondly, that we are to focus on Him in Bible study and in prayer. And thirdly, that we are to trust Him to guide our life along the best path, what He has for us, that we would trust in Him and have that faith that God has the best in mind for us. And then also that we are to surrender. The fourth thing is to surrender our will and our selfish desires to His Lordship. Make Him number one. God has to be number one in our life. And I know I haven't done that enough, making God number one, that it's His way and not my way. And lastly, the fifth thing is to follow His leadership, what He is directing us to do. But you know what? Because we are human, and I think that much pretty much covers everybody in here, right? Because we're human, we're imperfect, and we're sinners. We're going to make mistakes. Who believes you're going to make mistakes in 2017? Who believes that? Okay. Now, those of you who are liars and didn't raise your hand, go ahead and raise them now. Because you're going to make mistakes. Without a doubt, you're going to blow it. You're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up things during this year more than once. We're going to get too busy or too lazy to follow through on our spiritual priorities. It's going to happen. No doubt. We're going to allow this sinful nature here. Everyone take your hands and say, this sinful nature, right here. This sinful nature here to rise up and have its way. It happens. It's going to happen. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he said in the book of Romans, chapter 7, these words, "We know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am unspiritual." And he goes on to say, "I do not understand what I do. But what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, that's what I do." Then he goes on to say, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Now, does that relate to you somewhat? You feel sometimes, you know, you really want to do the right thing. You want to do good, but there's like this little whisper in your ear, go ahead and eat that second Twinkie. You don't really need to exercise today. You did last week. Come on. Don't overdo it. You know, give it a few weeks, you know. However, I think if we follow these simple guidelines, we'll be better prepared for whatever life throws our ways. If we keep our eyes focused on Him and listen intently to the voice of the Lord, and if we speak words of faith and encouragement, and let me tell you, I'm really trying to speak words of faith and encouragement. I am like the most negative person. You know, I got to stop that. I need to be positive. In fact, I'm positive I'm negative. But I have to stop doing that. I have to be more positive and speak in faith, listening intently toward His voice. We need to feel God's touch in our life. Like He's there with us and He's touching us and He's speaking to us so that we can also touch other people's lives. God did not save you or me so we could just warm that seat over there. Be nice. Go ahead and warm it up. You know, I'm sure someone tomorrow when they come for the other congregation that meets, they'll be thankful that you warmed up their seat. But you're here not just to warm seats, and God has not saved you just to be a bench warmer, but to go out and touch other people's lives. So I want to look at these five priorities. And the first one is honor. God's word says in Exodus 20, verse 3, and we see it up here, one of the commandments here, Exodus 20, verse 3, that says, "You shall have no other gods before me." No other gods before me. What things do we have as gods in our life? What are the gods in your life which are getting in the way of you living and acting and doing like you should? You know, it could be money. You might be someone very conscious of money. I struggle with that myself. You know, as my wife, now she's different than I grew up, we didn't have much at all. My parents were divorced when I was young and didn't have much and all sorts of problems. And Irene grew up very, very poor. But for me, I struggle sometimes with money, making sure we have savings and 401k and trying to do all of this. And money's important. How about possessions? Are possessions important for you? Do you have to have things? Do you have to have the latest and greatest things that come out, or the newest fashions and the newest shoes and other things that come out? Maybe people are your gods. Maybe your kids have become your god. Your spouse has become your god. Or your job. Maybe you're a workaholic and you work constantly and that's like your god. Or it could be activities. You know, you're really into fitness or mountain climbing or hiking or fishing or bowling or whatever it is. Has that become more of a god to you more than God is in your life? You know, we need to seek daily to honor God above all things. In Matthew 6:33, and I think it's been mentioned a couple times today, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Honoring God doesn't mean giving up other things. You don't have to give up everything that you have. I mean, you don't need to become a monk or a hermit and live in a cave and not have anything. No. Rather, it helps us to put things in its proper perspective and light. There's a time and there's a place for things. It helps us to see what's really important and what's going to make us truly successful and happy. But God has to be first. Now, the second thing is focus. Now, how do we focus? Now, in this conference that we just came back from, the Rabbi's Conference, Irene was there with me and Bob and Laura were there. There was so much emphasis on prayer and quiet time with the Lord, how that needs to be the most important thing. But focus is accomplished through a daily quiet time with God. Psalm 46:10, which is, I know, one of Irene's scriptures, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Being still before God, not talking, listening, receiving from Him. If I honor God and I love Him, I will make the necessary effort to spend time alone with Him. And I'm trying that. I'm trying. Last night I was trying. I went to sleep last night and I just started praying and I started praying and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the spiritual language and tongues that God has given us. And, you know, I found myself praying and praying, and it must have been 2 hours. Then I found myself waking up during the night doing that. It hasn't happened in a long time for me, but I know things have to change in my life, and things have to change in your life if you want God to do something. You can't expect God to do anything if you're not doing your part. A commitment of just 15 minutes a day is a start for you. Of the 24 hours in a day, 15 minutes is not much of your time. If we're not willing to spend that small amount of time with God, do we really love God? Can you say that you really love God if you can't even spend a few minutes a day with Him? No, you can't. How can we expect to hear God's voice or benefit from His instruction if we don't spend time with Him. We have to spend time with Him. And I remember, you know, when Irene and I started dating, you know, a couple years ago, you know, it seems like just a few years ago, but time goes so fast. I remember I was just a young kid back then, you know, and I had a lot of hair. I had a big old afro, a lot of hair. I had a black beard. I mean, I was skinnier. But all those things change over time. I remember, man, I wanted to spend every moment with her, either, you know, either on the phone talking. We'd talk on the phone for a long time. We'd be together just in the car talking, and okay, we kissed sometime. You know, but spending that time together, I just wanted to spend all that time I could with her. And that's what God wants us to do, spend that time with Him. And if we're not spending that time with Him, how can He correct the errors in our life and mend the hurts in our life and redirect us back to His truth and His ways? Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says that Yeshua often withdrew to lonely places and He prayed. Yeshua, who was the Messiah of Israel, the Son of the living God, He often went into lonely places, solitary places, and prayed and sought the Father because He needed to do that, and we need to do that. The third area has to do with trust. Matthew 6:34, which is the following verse that I said earlier, says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And a lot of you are saying, yeah, okay, sure. That's what God's Word says. It's tough. Let me tell you, it's tough not to worry about tomorrow. It's tough when you have bills to pay and when things are going tough or are rough or there's problems. It's difficult not to think about tomorrow. It is. But He tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In the book of Philippians, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Boy, does that convict me. I am such an anxious person. I sometimes have so much anxiety. You know, it probably drives, I know it drives my wife crazy. You know, it should drive me crazy, but I'm used to myself. But I have that anxiety, that anxiousness. But it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let me tell you something. Thanksgiving. We don't do enough of thanksgiving. We do a lot of asking and a lot of complaining and a lot of bickering and all those things, but we have to spend more time thanking God. Thanksgiving. And he says when we do all that, it says, "And the peace of God," that shalom of God, that peace which transcends our understanding, something beyond what we can even understand, will guard our hearts and our minds in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. You know, I believe that God has our best interests at heart. He really does. And we need to trust Him to make corrections in our lives, which will only make things better, make us better. If we try to live our lives without the input of God, things are not going to turn out the way they should. They're not going to turn out for the best. They won't. You know, sometimes we'll have some success when we do it our way. We'll have some success. Sometimes things go good, but our lives won't nearly be as rewarding and successful and interestingly as it could be with God's perfect direction, instruction, and corrections in our life. So much better when we get the input from God. So much better. You know, it's not, "I did it my way. You know, I'm not Frank Sinatra. It's not, I did it my way. I did it God's way. We should do it God's way. The fourth area has to do with surrender. Tough, huh? Psalm 139, verses 22 through 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In surrendering ourselves to the Messiah's lordship, we submit to self-examination. We let God allow us to see ourselves. And that's an ugly thought sometimes, isn't it? If we really saw how we are or what we are, it's a scary thought. But we agree to look at ourselves with a magnifying glass and begin to see some of the imperfections that God sees in us. But surrender involves honesty. At the motives for what we do and what we say. Look honestly at those things. We must examine our thought life and see if we need to confess what we're thinking about and turn from those thoughts. I bet you if the individual next to you knew what you were thinking sometimes, it would make their toes curl. You know that? It really would. We need to look at the person that we are that no one else but God sees and decide if that person is writing a life story that could have the title believer or Christian placed on it. I mean, does our life exemplify the life of a believer? If other people really knew what you were doing and how you were living, we must be willing to allow the master builder. God is the master builder. And he can take these imperfections of our life and fix them and make corrections. And he can make deletions and additions to the story of our life. But we have to let God do that. He's the master builder. And he can take these bodies and these clay and just do a whole new work in our life. Lastly, follow. Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Follow him. And following involves action, something that we need to do in our part. We can't follow someone and then just sit down. If you follow someone, you follow them. They lead you and you follow them. In other words, we must be moving. You can't be sedentary. You can't be sitting down. You have to be moving, looking toward them, following after them. And if you're not willing to move with God, to seek him and to follow him daily, then spiritually you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere at all. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "That my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are you a sheep? Are you? A lot of people don't like to be called sheep. "Well, I don't follow anybody. I do things my way. I don't follow anyone." We need to be a sheep in that context of following God. So I want to try a little exercise here, okay? I want everyone to say, "Bah." Say it again. "Bah." One more time. "Bah." Okay, does that make you feel good? Okay, that's enough. Don't get carried away now. But we need to be sheep in the eyes of God. We need to be following after him, listening to his voice. And when the master talks, when the shepherd talks, we follow, we lead, we follow after that voice. We know his voice. Let me tell you what, if you don't know the voice of your shepherd, how do you know it's him who's talking to you or it's a devil whispering in your ear? You've got to know the voice of God. Yeshua says if we listen to his voice, he will know us. And how can we expect Yeshua to expect to follow Yeshua if we don't listen to his voice? We've got to hear his voice. Yeshua also said in John chapter 12 and verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. If you serve him, you have to follow him. For us to truly serve Yeshua, we need to follow him and to listen to his voice. Otherwise, as it says in, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Let me say that again. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, this is just not metaphorical. This is reality. I know people like this. I know people like this who follow deceiving spirits. They think they're believers. They think they're holier than thou and they're doing the right thing, but they're not listening to the right voice. They're following deceiving spirits. This year, 2017, holds a lot of hope and a lot of promise. I believe both personally and congregationally here. We're trying to incorporate some new things, some changes we're going to make. We're going to try to clean up the act, be quality people in a quality congregation, not be slacking in areas, being good examples, being faithful people. I believe God has good things for us personally and for this congregation. I believe we're trusting the Lord for victories in our lives and in healings. And we're looking for blessings. And congregationally, we're believing in 2017 that this will bring about our own synagogue building in 2017. And I'm really believing it because I'm starting to dream about it. So I believe 2017 is going to be a pivotal year. But we've got to do our part. We've got to clean up our personal lives. We've got to clean up the congregational life. We got to be people who are more committed, more faithful in every area. Oh, by the way, the service starts at 11 o'clock, just in case anyone forgot here. Of course, I'm not telling that to visitors who sometimes have a problem finding here, but I'm saying generally the service, it starts at 11. All right? Prayer is at 10 o'clock. I mean, if you're asked to do something, you're required to fulfill that commitment that you've made. The kingdom of God depends on you being faithful. Well, God doesn't need you, actually, but I'm saying for things to work well, we have to be committed and faithful people. So we're asking you, God is asking you to be more committed, more faithful in every area of your life, from your presence at the service to prayer life to your tithes and offerings to all the things that need to be done in your life. For your own personal prayer, all these things, God is requiring more from you. God is requiring quality. Are you quality people? God is looking for quality people that he can rely on and he can trust in. Forever to see our dreams and our goals and our hopes fulfilled, We need to make a greater commitment to the Lord and serve the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. But it's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. The evil one, he'll try to stop you in every moment, every step that you make. He's going to put every sort of hindrance in your path and temptation in front of you. However, if you and I, if we keep our eyes on Yeshua, our eyes on the Lord, and are faithful to the Lord in our service to the kingdom of God, then you're going to see great changes and answers to long sought after prayers be met, fulfilled this year. I believe it. I believe it. And you need to believe it, but you've got to be faithful. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be committed. There's areas in your life, my life, all of our lives that need to be put under the lordship of Yeshua. It needs to be. We got to make changes in our lives. Unless you're sitting there and you think you don't need to change, that you've got everything right, you're on the ball, things are great, things are perfect, then you are deceived. You are. What I want to do right now, I want us to stop and pray at this moment. And I want us to recommit ourselves to the Lord and to prioritizing our spiritual lives toward the kingdom of God, that we may see His glory revealed in our lives. So just stand with me, please. Stand with me. I'm not going to lead you in prayer. I don't want you talking to anybody. I want you to be praying, talking to the Lord. And I want you to recommit yourself to the Lord. Recommit yourself. Just because you've made mistakes this past year and years past, it doesn't make a difference. You have a new opportunity, a new chance to get things right. I want you to recommit yourself, that you're going to be faithful, you're going to serve the Lord with gladness, you're going to serve Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to be faithful in your prayer life, in reading the Scriptures, you're going to be faithful in your tithes and offerings, you're going to be faithful in being a good husband or a good wife or a good mother or a good father, a good worker at your job, whatever it is, recommit your life, redirect your life to the Lord and get things right. So let's go ahead and do that for a few moments.